that if our property is disclosed in the finance of in the there's no concern. Current year, 11-12, there's still some challenges on the SMART targets. But for 12-13, they've managed to clear those concerns. And this is really a step in the right direction. So that it means that what we shared with them last year and the best practices we shared has been implemented. So for NMESA, there's no concerns for all 3 years, and NMESA is the one entity that got a clean audit report last year. ICASA started off with a number of findings. You will note in the previous year 61 findings. That's dropped to 40 for the current year, and on the next year's strategic plan, we've identified a number of targets that does not meet the SMART principle. So although they've improved, the overall assessment is still that they need. That's the one strategic plan where attention will have to be given to the SMART principles. For the post office, also no findings. They also had no findings for the last few years, except for the irregular expenditure that haunted them. They were actually doing well. On the next slide, we've got Centec. Again, Centec also had no findings on the SMART principle. And then SABC is the other one. Where you see the dark block, the assessment by the external auditors for the current year, the 11-12, hasn't been done yet. They are still in the process to do that assessment. But they have had an opportunity to look at the 12-13, and they've identified a number of targets that are not SMART. For us to further unpack this, we've extracted two examples, two for ICASA and two for SABC, just to illustrate to the committee why we say they don't meet the SMART principle. ICASA is the first one. There's a target on the wholesale open access model in licensing of some mobile broadband spectrum. It's got a performance indicator, it's got a target, and it's got some milestones. On the next slide, you will see where we set, and you've got the slide in front of you as ease of reference. But on slide 10, we then indicate where it doesn't meet the SMART principle. So, for instance, on specific, to say exactly what must be achieved, it talks about a model, but it's not the target's not very specific to say what's the model. The only target that we can actually tick as a good indicator is the fact that it must be achieved by the end of March. The next one is the collaboration with USASA on the promotion of universal access. It says a memorandum of agreement with USASA on program related to access. It says increased accessibility, and the activity is for 12-13 engagement process with USASA on transversal access. When you measure it against the SMART, it doesn't say what access to what. Okay, it doesn't mean a measure. It cannot be measured to say how will you measure increased access. What will be the measurement to know when have you achieved this target? We cannot confirm if the target is relevant, that it's not specific, so it's not really clear on what will be achieved. And then the only one, again, is that because it's a one-year plan, one-year implementation plan or strategic project plan, we know it must be achieved within 1 year. For SABC, let me just stop here for a while. This is a broad framework, and it's a lot of detail, but I quickly want to go through it just to explain to you. The green blocks on this slide, it says there needs to be a monitoring and evaluation unit. It doesn't need to be a unit, it can be one person, but it must be a person that's charged with the responsibility of performance management. The GMs need to take this process to plan the performance information, monitor it, report and review on it. There must be documented policies and procedures, and then there must also be an oversight. Internal audits specifically can play a big role in validating the performance information even before the auditor general audits those. And you will see the green bubble in the middle. It's the influence of clean administration. That's the ultimate where we want to review to go to. The yellow blocks is just the activities that should happen as a result of the monitoring evaluation unit on top. It's review the capacity of the unit to be able to effectively assist with performance information, approve and clearly define roles and responsibilities, understand the roles and responsibilities, and then also have a role in reviewing the compliance with the performance information. The policies and procedures, again, the yellow block just elaborate on what should ideally be in the policies and procedures. This is for ICASA, but it's equally, it applies equally for SABC, so I'm not going to repeat this at the end of the presentation. For SABC, shortly, there's a performance target of a communication strategy, and the target is to implement the implementation plan in line with the strategy milestones. But this target's not clear in terms of what must be achieved, when will they know they've achieved the objective. So, again, on the next slide, we give an indication to say that it doesn't meet the measurable, so we don't know when it will be achieved, as well as the achievement. What's also some lessons to be learned is the time frames. We identify that 31st of March is generally used as an overall time frame, but there can be interim time frames in the year. It can be a quarter or first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, because what we see is that there's not really monitoring in year if all the targets is got a target of the end of March. Then lastly, there's another example as a last example on communication tools. Again, communication tools is very wide to have as a measurement as a target. Again, the question can be asked, when will you know you've achieved that target? If there's one communication tool implemented, if whether there's 10 implemented, when will this be rated as an achieved target? So again, on the next slide, we've indicated that it's not measurable, it's not achievable, and again, the time frame is not specified. It's implied that it's the 31st of March the next year. Okay, this is just a short example that we've extracted from the two entities that we believe got some work to do on the performance targets. And as I said, this is a portfolio with huge potential to get to clean, if we can just remove the obstacles in our way to get there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, AG. Welcome, Minister, Honorable China. Ule, you're most welcome. Thank you. We just started with the AG presentation. We'll be coming back to the issue of the Department of Communication. Members, that was a brief presentation around the issues. They are clear. They sound clear to me. I don't think we need engagement, except that we can see and we know probably how to engage on the strategic plan. Honorable Simon, is your hands up? Okay. Clear? Okay. Thanks very much, AG. It's clear. Probably we might need you some other time. when we deal with the entities, but we'll just encourage the entities to interact with yourself so that what you have picked up, you are able to sort it out even before they come in during the days when they are coming. So I hope they'll take that opportunity and engage with yourself. But thanks very much. Honorable Claire?
Just to go back to the slide, the overall assessment. Can we therefore have an indication from the AG's office that after they have scrutinized the strategic plan, they are satisfied that we have all the specifics in the departmental plan and that it complies with the SMART principles of being specific, measurable, etc.? In previous years, we have had challenges. We said that perhaps one should actually minimize the number of strategic goals so that we can really move and say what are the key priorities to achieve. But overall, if we look at it this year, have they satisfied themselves that with a set criteria and the set goals that the department has included in the strategic plan that they feel comfortable? Is that our final analysis from the AG's office? Thank you.
AG, can you respond to that question? I thought your areas also to focus on the measurability and achievability of the of whatever goal which is there. I'm not sure whether you can be able to respond on the broader, whether there are too many or less and so on, because that's the members asking in terms of not to have many, but to have few of them, so that you are able to focus.
Thank you, Chief. Just in response, the assessment we've done now was a high-level assessment, just to look at these targets, so we haven't looked at everyone. Just to get a feel of, has this materially been addressed? Just in terms of our previous recommendations, a year or two back, we did make a recommendation to say that it's ideal to focus on fewer targets, but it's not prescribed. We just saw that when you have pages and pages full of targets, the tracking thereof becomes complicated. The monitoring, the quarterly reporting against it becomes complicated. So the more focused the targets are, the easier the management of those targets is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, AG. Thanks very much. Members, don't put in your responsibility to AG. That's where you are here for, to deal with these other members and so on. We are ready to take DOC. Minister?
Chairperson, thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. And I would like to say thank you very much for affording us an opportunity to address this leadership here, this house, during this deliberation of the Department of Communication Strategic Plan and its corporate plan. Information and communication technology, Chairperson, has proved itself to be a fundamental in ensuring social and economic development. And we have an opportunity as government to serve our people better and enable the citizens to pursue their entrepreneurial dreams. South Africa, like many other developing countries, is faced with challenges of ensuring access to basic ICT infrastructure. Improving access to ICT is one of the key government priorities because this improves the quality of the lives of the people by connecting them the rest of the world and the bigger universe of services that would not normally be available to them. The resolutions of the African National Congress are put into action in government, Chair, within the context of the medium-term strategic framework adopted in 2009. Simultaneously, The 12 outcomes of government are a narrative framework for implementing the ANC manifesto, which is our promise to our people. In this connection, the DOC has embraced the outcomes approach and has aligned programs with those of the state-owned entities to ensure that they are giving practical effect into the ministerial delivery agreement. As it can be seen in our strategic plan presentation, the department will be implementing programs which practically manifest the objectives of six relevant outcomes. The DOC's flagship projects are geared to set the country on a high growth trajectory through access to modern technology and ICT services for all citizens. And they are namely broadband internet connectivity, rural development and job creation, digital broadcasting, migration implementation, cybersecurity policy implementation, radio frequency, spectrum policy for national development, and national ICT policy framework. Honorable Chair, with regards to some of our government programs, the first is a resolution about developing a research and development strategy. The department has sought to advance the vision of developing a research and development strategy, which key focus is on improving the National System of Innovation, in short, NSI, through the plans to work towards establishing a National ICT Research and Development Council. The establishment of the National ICT Research and Development Council will provide strategies and policy advice on new growth opportunities. The measurement of ICT penetration will be done through publication of the second e-barometer report by 2013, March. Development of a plan to establish a computer incident response team to combat cyber attacks. And lastly, DOC will, during this current financial year, develop an ICT industry development strategy to support market competitiveness and growth, particularly local electronics manufacturing. The second program, Chair, regarding the universal access and services, the department will be amending the Electronic Communications Act to appropriately position USASA, or Universal Service and Access Agency of South Africa's mandate, to make it more clarified in the Act. The capacity of the agency to spend an account for the Universal Service Access Fund will also be articulated in this legislation. The broadband master plan, once finalized, Honorable Chair, will ensure that rural connectivity is delivered in a coordinated manner with the participation of Centec and Broadband Infraco. More than 1,650 schools will have internet connection. Licensing of new broadband spectrum will ensure broadband network coverage in rural and underserved areas. Through USASA, about 100 ICT centers will be established in 2012-2013, and the department will also establish 3 ICT SMME incubation hubs in 3 rural provinces, which is the Free State, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. The low-power transmitters will be facilitated and launched in several rural and underserved areas as a continued program, including Amathole region, Kakadu, Chris Hani, areas in the Eastern Cape, Harip and Thabo Mofutsanyane in the Free State, Mpungundlovu region and areas such as Zululand in KZN, Vembe and Capricorn region, amongst other in Limpopo, Katsibande and Esanzeni in Mpumalanga, Bujanala and Ngakamudire Molema region in the Northwest. In the Northern Cape, Honorable Chair, we will focus on areas such as Namakwa, Pixligaseme, and Kianda, and Jontaulo Haiti region. DOC will explore an Asia radio program in partnership with UNISA and further finalize a plan for establishing 9 digital content generation hubs in all of our 9 provinces. Funding will need to be appropriated during this financial year. and this financial year digital signal will reach over 74% of the population. The third program is on training and capacity building in the ICT skills, Honorable Chair. The Institute for Satellite and Software Applications, ISA, the National Electronic Media Institute of South Africa, NEMISA, and the Meraka Institute, ESI, are training institutions targeting historically disadvantaged individuals in an effort to boost the skills output in the ICT environment. In 2012-2013, further training will be provided by these institutions, the eSkills Institute, and signing of 5 MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, will support the expanding of the eSkills Research Network. Several private sector institutes, excuse me, several private sector institutes have also been established, such as the Cisco Academy, Altron Academy, and the MTN School of Excellence. Program number four, all municipalities should have a community radio station and community newspaper. All communities to have access to ICTs by 2014. Over 133 community radio stations have been licensed since 1994, Honorable Chair. Over 100 of these are operating. Between 90 and 110 municipalities are without a community radio station. And the DOC will provide support to the community radio station by providing infrastructure to new radio stations. Program number five, the resolution on the establishment of a national youth radio station dedicated TV and radio parliamentary channels, predominant local content and regional television channels. The SABC will produce a fully-fledged parliamentary channel as well as two channels reflective of provinces, which will be established with the advent of digital broadcasting. The SABC will also establish a national youth radio station using digital transmission on TV after the digital terrestrial television environment is launched. On the SABC, public funding of up to 60%. Honorable Chair, public contributions to the revenues of the SABC still remain at about 20%. The 60% quota funding requirement remains a distant possibility. This has a profound impact on the nature and extent of services provided by the SABC. During DPT, public content programming will be supported through public funding. These funds will be requested from the National Treasury. The SABC will submit a clear funding request aligned to its mandate of public broadcasting in channels such as health and education. Government continues to fund the SABC's digital migration technology transmission, including studio upgrades. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, the success or failure of ICT interventions to enable development will continue to depend on how all spheres of government, including state-owned enterprise conceptualization of ICT and development and successful implementation thereof. We have begun the process of ensuring that there is capacity within the department in policy development and in exercising oversight role on the entities under our reporting line. In fighting against crime and corruption, Cabinet last week, on the 8th of March, has approved the cybersecurity policy, which is a systematic, coordinated national effort to create a safe and secure cyberspace in order to build confidence and security in use of ICTs, amongst others. To ensure that ICT infrastructure is secure, robust, and reliable to support a multiplicity of applications and services. Create legal, technical, and institutional capacity to mitigate and manage cybercrime and cyber threats. Protect South Africa's sovereign interest in cyberspace, among others. to also improve South Africa's competitiveness of the economy and draw on foreign direct investment, and lastly, enable creation of sustainable employment. Honorable Chairperson, I want to assure you here that I will, together with the team, DOC, ensure that universal access and universal service be the concept for and bedrock of key policy proposals. We have actually moved to deliver on the promises that the ANC made to the country, but a lot more work still needs to be done. We as Team DOC, myself and the Deputy Minister, are committed to improving the quality of the lives of South Africans. With your help here, Honorable Chair, in this committee, by making ICTs accessible and affordable at all times, we want to thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, for the broad outline of the program for DOC for this financial year. Members who are proceeding to the actual details. Probably if there are issues the minister has raised, it will be integrated in the questions of the entire presentation and so on.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and first let me thank all the members for being here, but also to thank Minister.
Bamba Titi. Honorable Murotu.
Chairperson, I'm sorry to come up like this, but I think our duty as MPs is really to go through the documents, and that gives us strength to answer questions. Already we've had two presentations, and of which I think both what the minister has just given us and the AG is so essential to us to really be able to interrogate this report, that the deliberations that are going to be done by DOC now. Therefore, I am saying, Chairperson, is it possible for us to get what the minister has just presented to us as a hard copy? And I'll come back later, because I don't know how do the other members feel. I'm a stranger to everything that is happening here, and I don't think we're going to do a good work about this, because one of the things is that the presentation by the department was not with us, as we had agreed that we should have presentation given to us with, you know, 7 days before whatever meeting is going to take place. Now this disempowers us. And above all, now we have been given another presentation by the AG, which makes it very complex to us. I don't know. I might come back, you know, as an individual to see whether we can go further with this. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Mrotua. Any further comment on the matter from the members? Second.
Yeah, Chena, I also think she's right, because to be honest, we shouldn't adopt an attitude of just having on record that you've done this portfolio, got this presentation. The purpose is to make sure that things can work properly out there. So if members are able to read and ask questions from and see that things will be done properly out there, not just on paper, that is the purpose. The purpose is not just to ultimately say this presentation was made. But all said and done, I'll still say let's continue. We keep on saying, please let people do things the right way. You know, we don't want rush. just for the sake of finishing programs and things. We would ultimately want things that will be workable out there. And we need to check that and make sure that what is on paper is ultimately going to be actualized, practicalized out there. But all certain dialogue I'm seeing, I'll still say let's continue. But very strongly, Chair, we really request that when we do think, we must do think with the sole purpose of is this going to work. Members must make sure it's going to work. And not just to satisfy the parliament work has been done because presentation has been made in the portfolio. But I'll still persist we should continue. Are you raising your hand? Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, I'm sharing the same sentiments in this Honorable Kekana. This committee had a resolution that says any DOC or entity documents must be submitted 7 days before. If not submitted 7 days before, I'm not going to entertain whatever document. We have done that before with USASA. We have done that before with CASA. We have done that before with SABC. We have turned them away. So DOC must lead by example. Unfortunately, our DM here by then was the whip of this committee when it happens. So they must lead by example. Honorable member, honorable thing, you'll bear with me if I pronounce your name wrongly, said this thing during our committee meeting last week, Chairperson. She raised it as a concern that, you know, sometimes receiving documents in this manner is not just correct because we'll be failing to do our oversight. The document presented by AG, the overview by the minister, we don't even have it now, the one from the minister. But the chairperson is saying it's fine. While the DOC is presenting, we must interrogate, you must do this and that, this and that, this and that. I don't think the chairperson is correct. Chair, please, it's not correct. Whether we continue or not, I'm still saying DOC must lead by example. If we're able to chase the cat away more than once in this committee to say, we received their document very late. Why can't we do it with DOC? So that they must know that it's mother body to all these entities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members. But let me try to explain what exactly happened. Friday in the committee meeting, I raised a question about this meeting for today, because I knew of all what the members are saying. The request from department, they were supposed to give us a presentation Thursday. Then they requested to say they might not be able to do that. I acceded to their request that they are going to supply the presentation in the committee meeting for Friday, which didn't happen. That's why members remember Friday, it was the end of the meeting, I raised the issue of the DOC meeting today, precisely because at that time it was clear we're finishing a meeting, DOC has not presented the document to us. The document is only be presented to the committee section yesterday after 10. So I was aware, and from the onset Friday when I raised the issue, it was that I was aware that now we are eating to what we agreed upon as a committee, that when must we receive document, when must, so that members got time. If members leave to their respective areas without a document, it's no use if that document comes Monday, because members will only arrive late at night Monday from their areas, so they won't be able to interact with that document. So the document only came yesterday at 10:30 to the committee section, the presentation. But look, members, when we discussed the matter Friday, members said to me, those who were here,
No. We do have the strategic plan already. We are going to read the strategic plan. Then our discussion will be based on the strategic plan because we have received the strategic plan Wednesday. It's already with us. The presentation is just a presentation, but has no impact because we've got the strategic plan. So that's what the committee meeting said Friday. Because I was raising the matter on the basis of what comrades members are saying, to say if the presentation is not here, I wanted at that time Friday that if we don't agree, then we stop the meeting today that DOC comes in because of the lack of compliance with the submission of documents and so on. But unfortunately, the discussion on Friday was that we do have the strategic plan, so the presentation will just be a summary and so on. So I think that's where we are and why we are here. There was no intention, members, to move away from what we agreed upon because we understand the difficulty of dealing with that. It was the discussion for Friday and so on, but it's the decision of the committee. The committee is here now. You can give a direction. How do we move forward on the particular matter? Because it was our decision, Friday it was our decision, and we are here now. We can give a way forward in terms of how to proceed about it. But I just wanted to explain. Honorable Schneeman?
No, Chair, I mean, I think in the light of what you've indicated, the decision that we did take on Friday, therefore the meeting must continue and the presentations must continue. But obviously we understand and we accept that and we agree that normally we would want the presentations in advance, and the presentation only came through yesterday. But the fact is that we did have the strategic plan, so I'd agree we must continue.
Honourable Ruto.
Jefferson, I really derive from the fact that I wasn't present on Friday, but I had filed in an apology. Now, the fact is that we said we need to have a presentation 7 days before, and we never had that. Because I was here earlier in the week, we could have received that. We didn't have that. And, Chairperson, I would propose that we have a caucus. Because, as the committee,
Thank you, Honourable Killen.
Thank you, Chairperson. I support the calling for a caucus. I just believe that we have to remain consistent with our approaches. And if nothing else, but perhaps we should discuss that in caucus. So I think we should just take a break for now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, member, can we get, I'm not sure whether the guest must get out or must check another room. We can check another room where we can meet and just quickly discuss so that we don't inconvenience. So you can remain seated and we'll go out and check where we can find the space. Thanks. Welcome back, members. Guests have been here. We are back. Maybe I put it like that. We are back. We also welcome the late comers from DOC. There are quite a number of them. We're not here when we started the meeting, but they've still joined us. I won't call it the names, it's fine, but you are most welcome. Mr. Telezi and yourself, Temba. So, but we are back after the break for the caucus. by members in terms of how do we move forward around this particular matter. Members will indicate if I misrepresent the discussion. The first issue is that we have the long-standing decision of the committee about the submission of documents, and we are not intending to change that. That the document must be on time so that members are able to go through those documents. I have also rechecked with the committee section. They have confirmed that the first time they received this presentation was after 10 yesterday. No other document came earlier except the formal strategic plan, which was presented to Parliament. That is one thing which will request some explanation from DOC. Probably even after they spoke to me, and I indicated that probably it would be better if the document is submitted Friday in the committee meeting, and that still didn't happen until the document is received after 10 Monday. And we still don't know why it happened like that. So we feel that it would be unfair if we proceed without getting that understanding, exactly what happens when people make an undertaking and they don't meet their undertaking and so on, as one part. Probably if we start with that one, and then we will then proceed to the other issues in terms of how do we proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me apologize that we submitted the presentation late. I think from my side, I was not aware that the presentation needed to be on time like the strategic plan. My understanding was that we needed to table the document on time, which I think we tried as a department to ensure that the strategic plan is submitted on time, but I was not aware of the turnaround time for the presentation, but I really want to apologize and to commit that this will be the last time we would ensure that in future all our documentation, that is the strategic plan and the presentation, is submitted on time. I really want to apologize.
You are dealing generally with the matter. I'm asking the question, when an undertaking is made to me that the document will be here Friday, and that does not happen. You see, here we are dealing with the integrity of Parliament as an institution. We understand the delay. I accepted that there's some delay. It's fine. But an undertaking is made that the document will be in the committee meeting Friday, and that does not happen. What happened exactly? Who is who in the zoo? What exactly is happening? I think that's the issue you must be clear at, because more than the delay, but there's an undertaking. And that undertaking is not being fulfilled, and no one explained. You see, the problem is that no one explained why that undertaking is not being fulfilled. That's the problem.
Chairperson, my understanding is that there were few areas that needed to be rectified with the presentation, and that's why we had to ensure that all the issues that were raised were incorporated into the presentation, and that is what caused the reason why we did not provide the presentation on Friday.
Member, that's the explanation about the presentation, that the reason why it arrived late and so on. Minister.
Honourable Chairperson and honourable members, I am not sure whether I should be starting by, you know, apologising first. But, Chair, I would want to say that I was not aware that an undertaking was made to the Chairperson in particular and to this honourable committee. Otherwise, personally, I would have called the honourable Chair to apologise on Friday. I know that I did see the presentation on Friday in the afternoon, and I was not satisfied about certain areas that needed to be redone, and I spoke to the DG, I think it was late in the afternoon. But if I had known that an undertaking was made, Honorable Chair, I would have made an effort to call. So for my part and on behalf of DOC, I really want to apologize for the fact that we made an undertaking to the Honorable Chairperson and we did not honor that. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. That is the explanation, members. Probably must proceed to the other issues if you don't have a comment on the matter. We on our discussion in terms of how do we proceed with the work for today, I've been approached by the department before we start this meeting that NEMIFA is not ready to come Friday. Now, what we want to the way forward is that we'll proceed to take the presentation. Obviously, won't finish. Then the first portion of the Friday program from 9 to 11 will be proceeding with any business which will be left today, Friday, so that we finish that part and then we take USASA thereafter as the other entity which we're supposed to deal with Friday and so on. So we'll take the presentation and see how far we go today, but we make the provision for Friday from 9 to 11 to continue with the work which we're supposed to deal with. If members they don't have a comment on that, you can straight go to the presentation. But like I've said, Minister, that we think that after this meeting, the OC will talk to its entities because we don't want this delay of submission. All the entities which are still coming, I'm sure they would understand that and appreciate that our view that once strategic plan is presented to Parliament, already the issue of the presentation cannot take long because it's the same document. It's just a few executive of the document and so on. So by right now, all the presentation for entities should be with us as a committee, as we speak, not even when they will be coming. By now, all the presentations should be with us so that members have got sufficient time to go through those documents and so on. So I hope that is what's going to happen after this meeting. And by the end of this week, of course, we've got all the presentations for the entities so that we don't have a problem moving forward in terms of the documentation and so on. We can proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, members, for your understanding. First, I would like to introduce the DOC team. I'm Rosie Sekese, DG of the Department of Communications, and with us we have Mr. Gift Buthelezi, who is at the back, DDG for ICT, International and Affairs. We also have Mr. Sam Andulakas, who is the Acting DDG for Finance and ICT Enterprise. Sam, raise your hand so we can see you. We also have Mr. Temba Piri, Acting DDG for the PNC Temba. We also have Mr. Javukhada, the Acting DDG for ICT Infrastructure. We also have Mr. Norman Munzalele, Acting DDG for ICT Policy, and we have Dr. Harold Vessel, Acting CEO for the eSkills Institute, and we have Mr. Farad Osman, who is the Chief Director for Strategic Planning and Monitoring, and we also have Ms. Kidiboni Sukwela, who is the Chief Director for HRM, and lastly we have Mr. Sia Koza, who is the Media Liaison Officer. In terms of the outline of the presentation, we would first start with the DOC vision, mission, mandate, and the planning process, which is also aligned to the government outcomes and the DOC programs. And then after that, we'll deal with the flagship programs, the additional priority programs, and then from then we'll then focus on the strategic goals, objectives, and the 2012-2013 targets. We would also give a sense of the legislative program that would be undertaken. What we've also said that members would appreciate is a sense of how we would deal with the HR recruitment to ensure that we can deliver on the strategic plan. And lastly, we'll do a presentation on the financial information. First, I would like to reflect on the vision that we have as a department so that we can have a sense of where are we going as a department. we still reaffirm the vision that we have on the table, that is South Africa is a global leader in the development needs of ICTs. And this vision is supported by the mission of building an inclusive information society through a sustainable world-class ICTs environment. And in terms of our mandate is to create a vibrant ICT sector that ensures that all South Africans have got access to affordable and accessible ICT services in order to advance socio-economic development goals, to support the African agenda, and to contribute to a building a better world. In terms of the planning process, what we started was to undertook a consideration in terms of the internal and external environment, which involved engagement with a number of stakeholders just to get a sense of what are the critical issues that we need to take into consideration when we finalize the strategic plan. We did the ICT sector analysis. We also considered minister's performance agreement, because in the main, we need to ensure that as a department we deliver on what minister has agreed to with the president. And also what we then did was to look at the government outcomes, that is the 12 government outcomes, to check or align what are the deliverables of the department with that. With regard to the ICT sector analysis, the department in its planning took into consideration the state of the ICT sector and some of the issues that our minister spoke about them earlier on, through engaging the relevant subject and matter expert, analyzing relevant research report as well as e-readiness report. The e-readiness report is the report that we launched last year through the Presidential National Commission as a department, with specific reference to the barriers of ICT access, uptake, and usage. With regard to the consultations, the plans were developed in consultation with the senior management of the department, and we also had interaction with the state-owned enterprise. The plans are aligned to the framework of the strategic plans and the annual plans as developed by the National Treasury. This is one of the things that the AG or Auditor General they were presenting earlier on. What we did as a department this year, our strategic planning was facilitated by the members of the Technical Assistance Unit, that is the unit of National Treasury. We took this decision to, in order to ensure that our strategic plan is aligned with the SMART principle. What we then did was to ensure that our targets are measurable, we have performance indicators, and also we have time frames unpacked in terms of the 2012-13. We went through a very iterative process, and we then submitted the first draft and the second draft of the start plan was submitted to National Treasury, and also it was submitted to the Department of Performance Measuring and Evaluation. They did provide us with their feedback in terms of the first draft and the second draft. What we then did was to incorporate some of the things that they reflected. They say, for example, one of the issues they would raise in the strategic goal that the target is not clear. So those are the things that we had to deal with as a department. Furthermore, currently such performance report together with the related evidence against the report achievement are further submitted to the AG. What the AG is doing now is just to conduct and audit the performance information as well as conduct integrity testing. I must say, through this process, the AG has actually assisted us in terms of how we understand the whole issue of performance information and how to ensure that when you say a target has been achieved, the kind of information that you should make available so that you are able to say you've got evidence to in terms of your reporting. The department has also, which is one of the things that we spoke to at our last strategic plan, has in place a fully functional organizational performance assessment board that interrogates quarterly performance report and makes recommendations to improve the departmental performance. To date, we had three meetings. That is, after the first quarter, we had a meeting, and also we had a meeting for the second quarter performance report and also for the third quarter. Over and above the mandatory quarterly report process, the department consistently monitors program performance through its various governance structures, such as the Departmental Executive Committee, top management, the branch meetings, and also the EXCO, which is chaired by the minister. In terms of the government outcomes, I'm not going to delve down into this slide. We our programs manifest itself in terms of the five relevant government outcomes. The first one is the improvement of the quality of education, which I think when we deal with the issues of the e-schools, Dr. Vessel will probably be able to assist later when we deal with the question. The second outcome, which is outcome number three, is all people in South Africa, they feel safe. The fourth is the decent employment through inclusive economic growth, which is an outcome of the economic cluster. Number six, the efficient, competitive, and responsive economic network. Number seven is the vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities with food security for all. In terms of the flagship programs, I'm not going to drill down to these ones. These are some of the issues that the minister spoke about. We still reaffirm our commitment and our delivery on the six flagship programs that we spoke about last year, the first one being the job creation. And as a department, we've established an ICT industry working group also supported by the minister on the job creation. And on the e-skills, through the e-skills institute, we are planning to massify the e-skilling of our nation. With regard to broadband, our target is to improve the broadband penetration through the implementation of the broadband master plan. And on this one of the things that we would be undertaking is finalization of the baseline studies so that we are able to say on the targets that we are working to, it becomes easy for us on a yearly basis to measure and be able to report on progress with regard to broadband. And furthermore, in the amendment of the ECA, we will make provisions for the broadband-related matters so as to enable the necessary legal and regulatory framework for broadband implementation. With regard to DTT, the program will focus on the implementation of the set-top box manufacturing strategy and the scheme of ownership, and what we are targeting is the 96% population coverage by 2013 before we switch off the analog signal. And with regard to Postbank, once the Postbank is licensed, our intention is for the Postbank will roll out centers and outlets prioritizing the underserved rural areas with a specific focus on the unbanked population who are not part of the formal banking sector. On the rural connectivity, we have an ICT rural development strategy would be implemented through a number of key programs during the financial year. In terms of the next slide, I would not focus too much on this one. Minister also spoke about some of these additional programs, the first one being the development of the retail.
Titi, probably before you proceed, there's nothing wrong with that. I forgot when I was giving that the feedback from the caucus for members. They are requesting the written input of the minister if it's available so that they can be able to go through it. And again, you keep on referring to it and they don't have the document. So as you go back, but when they have such input, then it will help for them to follow.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the development of a research and development strategy, the department will focus on conducting relevant ICT research and development in the field of local ICT software applications and ICT tools. And also one of the things that we would be addressing as part of implementing the cybersecurity policy is to establish a computer incident response team, which is normally abbreviated as a CERT. And what we will also be doing in partnership with the Department of Trade and Industry is to develop a strategy, an ICT industry development strategy that will support the market competitiveness and growth, in particular the local electronics manufacturing. On the next slide, which is slide number 16, the universal access and service, what we are also committing to, which is one of the additional priorities that we'll be undertaking, also in amending the ECA, is to ensure that we position the mandate of ISASA, which is meaning that we'll be clarifying it in terms of the role of ISASA. But more important is the capacity of the agency to spend and account for the USAF will also be articulated in this legislation. I spoke earlier on about the broadband master plan. I will deal with it in when we deal with the strategic goals and objectives. We're now on slide number 17. One of the things that we would also be doing in this strategic in 12-13 is the provision of connectivity to 1,650 schools. A contract is already on the table, which we have concluded with the Department of Basic Education. And what we would be doing is connecting 1,650 schools with the Department of Basic Education. And the schools are distributed in 11 districts. Over and above that, we would also be facilitating or dealing with the licensing of the new broadband spectrum, which will ensure that broadband network coverage in the rural and underserved areas. And maybe just to summarize, what we are aiming to do is just to ensure that there are a number of areas where we would be increasing access to ICTs, starting with connectivity to the schools, provision of the ICT centers, in terms of with USASA, and also continuing with the low power transmitters. This is a project that we are doing in collaboration with the SABC and Centec on the low power transmitters in areas where there is no coverage of broadcasting. But over and above that, what we would also be doing as a department is to explore an edu radio program in partnership with USASA. And that will ensure that we finalize a plan for establishing 9 digital content generation hubs in 9 provinces. This is one of the things that we have been engaging a number of provinces in terms of their support and collaboration on the digital content generation hub. What we would be achieving in this financial year is a broadcasting signal that will reach a coverage of 74% of the population. And with regard to the Post Bank, the corporatization of the Post Bank, during the 2012-2013, the department will focus on the establishment of the Post Bank. The board will be put in place, and the Post Bank will apply for a license to the Register of Banks. On the training and capacity development in the ICT skills, the Institute of Satellite and Software Applications, which we normally abbreviate as ISA, and the NEMISA and eSchools are a training institute targeting historically disadvantaged individuals in order to boost ICT skills in the sector. Over and above that, what we would also be doing in collaboration with the institution is signing of the 5 Memorandum of Agreement, which will support the expanding of the eSchools research network. Over and above that, what we will also be doing with several private sector institutes is to establish corporate schools and schools of excellence with the likes of your MTNs and the Cisco. Over and above that, on the community radio, the department will also be providing community radio stations and infrastructure to about 10 radio stations in this financial year. And also, what we will also be doing with the SABC is the advent of the digital broadcasting will assist us in providing a fully-fledged parliamentary channel, as well as 2 channels reflective of provinces, and this will be established in the 2012 and 2013. Over and above that, the SABC will establish a national youth station using the digital transmission, this will be one of the new channels that will be provided by the SABC during the DTT. And on the SABC, one of the things that remains a challenge is the funding of the SABC. What we are then saying as a department is that we would be engaging National Treasury on the funding of the SABC. And these are some of the discussions that we've been undertaking in the MTT, which is the monitoring task team that has been progressing well with SABC and National Treasury. In terms of the achievement, what we have achieved as a department is an integrated ICT policy framework. This discussion document was developed, and it will be the one that we'll be using at the ICT colloquium. And the ICT colloquium would be a colloquium that will take us towards a full ICT policy review. And over and above that, one of the achievements that we are also proud of is with regard to the support bill, which was signed into law by the president. And over and above that is the ICASA performance management system, which was tabled in Parliament and subsequently approved, and currently is being implemented. And on the scheme of ownership and the set-top box manufacturing strategy, these two documents will be approved by Cabinet. They are actually in the Cabinet process by March, by end of March 2012. And with regard to the Country Information Society's Readiness Report, this e-readiness report was launched and successfully launched in August 2011. And on the lastly, on the cybersecurity policy, the policy was approved by Cabinet in on the 8th of March 2012. We are now on slide number 23. Just as an overview, the strategic plan comprises of five strategic goals. One of the issues that was raised by an honourable member is whether the department has streamlined or refocused the strategic plan. If you look at the 2011 and 2012, we had eight strategic goals. In our interaction with the technical advisory unit of National Treasury, one of the things that came out clear is that in terms of best practice, an organization is supposed to have maybe 3 to 5 strategic goals. What we then did was to streamline our strategic goals so that they are focused, and it will be easy for us in terms of, you know, delivering, and also to ensure that we do not have too many strategic objectives that are not properly aligned. So because of the iterative processes that we had with TAGU, we now have a strategic plan that has got 5 strategic goals supported by 17 strategic objectives. And these strategic goals and objectives are to be realized through the achievement of numerous three-year targets as reflected in the what we refer to as the APP, which is the Annual Performance Plan. It must be noted that the department has undergone a structural review, which has resulted in a change of the program structure. This change in the program structure will be funded in, and implemented in the 2013 and 2014 financial year. Now, on strategic goal, what we are therefore aiming to achieve with the strategic goal, which is to enable the maximization of the investment in the ICT sector and create new competitive business opportunities for the growth of the ICT industry for socio-economic development. This strategic goal is supported by Strategic Objective 1.1, which is to contribute to creating conditions of inclusive economic growth through the development and implementation of ICT policies. Just to summarize a few targets that will be undertaken to support the strategic objective 1.1, the first one being the integrated ICT policy review, which will result in a new ECA once we've concluded the process of the full policy review. And what we'll also be undertaking is the implementation of the Post-Bank Act. Over and above that, we would therefore be introducing to Parliament the ECA amendment and the ICASA amendment. And over and above that, what we'll also be doing is developing the broadcasting policy and also the Postal Services Amendment Bill, which will be developed and also submitted to Cabinet. Over and above the ECA and ICASA amendment, we would also be amending the ECT Act. And lastly, one of the things that we'll also be undertaking is the development of an e-strategy. This is one of the things that has been pending in terms of us undertaking an e-strategy. This will include the Vision 2020 towards transforming South Africa to be a knowledge economy. In terms of strategic goal number two, which is to ensure that the ICT infrastructure is accessible, robust, reliable, affordable, and secure, this strategic goal number two is supported by strategic objective 2.1, which is to support and enable the provision of multiplicity of ICT applications and services through facilitating the modernization and deployment of the ICT infrastructure. On this strategic objective, we would be continuing with the implementation of the BDM policy, and over and above that, this implementation will be supported by the BDM public awareness strategy, which will be also monitored. And earlier on, I spoke about the National Broadband Master Plan. What we are also committing to achieve in the 2012 and 2013 is to review the broadband policy and also to finalize the broadband strategy and implementation plan. The second issue that we would also be undertaking for broadband is the baseline study on the broadband coverage, penetration speed, and cost. We are committing that we will be completing this study, which will assist us in how we measure the broadband penetration. Over and above that, what we are also committing to is the rollout of the new low-power transmitter stations, facilitated and monitored as per the SABC rollout plan. Lastly, with regard to the ICT research and development, it will be conducted, and local ICT software and applications and ICT tools will be developed. The next strategic objective, 2.2, is to contribute to the development, to the rural development through increasing universal access and services to ICT. What we are committing to is the ICT rural development strategy to be implemented through facilitating ICT interventions in the 61 rural sites and underserviced areas. On the next strategic goal, 2.3, what we are therefore committing is to validate the National Radio Frequencies Spectrum Plan, focusing on 9 kilohertz to 500 megahertz, and also on the issue of the radio frequency spectrum is the development of the policy directions to optimize the digital dividend and the replanning of the DTC spectrum to achieve socioeconomic objectives. In terms of the cost to communicate, what we are committing to on strategic objective 2.4 is to improve the cost, quality, availability, and usage of ICTs. On this strategic objective, what we are committing to is the market study to be conducted on wholesale and retail prices in the telecoms, postal, and broadcasting services. On strategic goal, which is to accelerate the socio-economic development of South Africa.
Just Bamba TC. A man can live with strategic plans only. T is here. Can we pray for 10 minutes? Then we'll talk it up. Felsi. You see. It means that the only operator can recognize. It means you are doing well. But for now, you can sit down so that the PG can proceed with the meeting. I'm told that there is one for 38. PG.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Chairperson. We're now on slide number 29, Strategic Goals 3 and Strategic Objective 3.1. With regard to the strategic objective, what we are committing to is the new and coordinated e-skills product and service offering to be developed and initiated to contribute towards creating appropriately skilled people for the knowledge economy job opportunities. And what we are also going to be undertaking is the e-skills social network for the knowledge transfer constructed. Over and above that, on the GDYC, that is the gender Children and Disability Directorate. The Youth and ICT Strategy Week 1 program will be implemented. The focus is on a minimum of 3 focus areas. And over and above that, with regard to the Children and Empowerment ICT Strategy, it will follow the same thinking from an implementation point of view as the Youth and ICT Strategy, that is to implement as the approved plan. And the Gender and ICT Strategy also would be implemented, and it will commence as the approved plan. And on the international training and development opportunities, this we would secure through the bilateral cooperation with countries of the South and also of the North. The next strategic objective, that is 3.2, on this strategic objective would be facilitating the linkages of the 15 ICT businesses, and over and above that, 1,000 SMEs would participate in the sector box value chain, and this will also be supported by incubation of one SME per appointed manufacturer in terms of facilitating the SME support. Over and above that, we would establish establishment of the 3 ICT hubs in the 3 additional underserved provinces, which will also be facilitated. And lastly, a comprehensive program for ICT capacity development in business, government services and individuals will also be implemented. The next strategic goal, that is 3.3, which would be the promotion of an ICT agenda across 3 spheres of government through the establishment of institutional mechanisms implemented and monitoring. On this target, one of the things that we have been undertaking is the provincial visit to ensure that our programs are aligned to the provincial programs of the implementation of ICTs. We have visited provinces like Mpumalanga. We've also been to the Northwest, and there is other provinces will also be undertaking in the next few weeks. And on strategic goal number 3.4, which is to facilitate and promote the information society development programs to accelerate socioeconomic development, what we are then saying is that the WISIS plan of action and related programs will be coordinated, facilitated, and monitored. And with regard to the e-skills programs, what we are then saying is that we'll continue with the coordination, and the implementation will therefore be monitored. On strategic goal number 3.5, which is improve evidence-based policy making, which is one of the things that was raised at our previous strategic planning, is that the ICT indicators as identified in the e-readiness report, which was launched last year, will be updated. Over and above that, the ICT status and impact assessment report will be produced across the prioritized sectors. And these are some of the reports that will assist us in undertaking our work, especially when we go through the next strategic planning process. And in terms of that, what we are then saying is that the impact of the ICT programs on job creation will be monitored and evaluated. And the ICT sector scenario planning and foresight will be conducted towards the development of Vision 2020. And one of the things that we are also proud of that we'll be undertaking is the international ICT Ndaba to be convened and implemented. And what we are therefore committing to is a successful convening of the ICT Ndaba. And in terms of strategic goal number 3.6, which is to improve the economic development through the facilitating and increasing of the development of local content, local digital content, one of the key priorities that we'll also be undertaking is the implementation of a content program. And with regard to the content program, we would be undertaking the implementation of the local and digital content development strategy, which would be supported by comprehensive digital content programs implemented in areas of like education, cultural, health content, and creative industries. We are now on strategic goal number 4, which is to improve the departmental performance and to enhance the role of ICTs as the deliverer arms of government. These strategic goals in the main deals with the oversight that we perform as a department with regard to our SOEs, but also the performance of the department and our support functions. And this strategic goal is supported by Strategic Objective 4.1, which is to provide efficient and effective oversight of SOEs and other entities through effective monitoring and corporate governance mechanisms. And this strategic objective is supported by an alignment of all corporate strategic plans facilitated to reflect on the output and outcomes as outlined in the MTSF. And some of the things that we are doing before we finalize our strategic plan is a workshop with all our SOEs so that we're able to do our alignment of our strategic plan with what the SOEs are proposing. And over and above that, what we'll also be undertaking is monitoring and evaluation of performance against corporate strategic plans undertaken and reported on. And one of the things that we also would be undertaking is the adherence of good corporate governance practice will be promoted, monitored, and also reported on. And lastly, on the SOEs, is expenditure patterns of SOEs against financial allocations and projections will also be monitored. And the next strategic objective, which is 4.2, is to enhance departmental performance through improving institutional processes and mechanisms. On the strategic objective, what we are committing to is organizational change and transformation agenda, reaffirming and implemented, focusing on culture, values, people, management processes, and systems. The next, the last strategic goal, which is number 5, is to contribute to the global ICT agenda prioritizing Africa's development. And this strategic goal is supported by Strategic Objective 5.1, which is to support the African agenda through the active participation in the implementation of the NEPET as African multilateral and bilateral ICT programs in order to promote the development in Africa. And this strategic objective is supported by the following targets, just to name a few. Contribution towards the cybersecurity framework for the continent will be finalized. And the last one would be bilateral relations with priority countries further strengthened through the formation and implementation of strategic partnerships and programs. The next strategic objective, that is 5.2, is to consolidate the South-South and North-South relations to promote economic development, and this would be supported by the following targets, which is the e-measurement digital inclusion facilitated through the consolidation of the IPSA e-barometer country report, and the next one would be the North-South bilateral relations promoted to advance the information society development agenda. And on strategic objective 5.3, what we are therefore saying is that we would continue with the two strategic trade and investment programs for the ICT sector would be developed and implemented. And on the next strategic goal, which is 5.1, which is to influence debates and decisions of multilateral summit and conferences and partnerships, on this strategic objective, what we are saying is we would be implementing the World Radio Conference 12 decisions. One of the things that we will also be reporting when we come back during the annual report is South Africa's successful participation in the WRC 12. Some of the things that we would be able to action in terms of the decisions of the WRC 12. The next target with regard to the strategic objective is the preparations to be conducted and implementation of decisions of major summit. For example, I spoke about the WRC 12. We have the WTSA that is coming, and also the ITU and the UPU 12, also some of the things that we'll also be addressing. The last issue on this strategic objective is the final act of the multilateral summit will be ratified. These are some of the submissions will be taken to cabinet. On the legislative program, I spoke about the amendment of the ECA and what we are therefore saying is that
sorry, BG, members, this UP what W what, if you go to page 121 of the strategic plan, abbreviation I explained there.
I can see the ditch is just flowing with WCRUP, what nobody knows. But if you just go to 121, 120 until 123 of the strategic plan, you'll get the abbreviation explained there. So that we always, all of us follow what he's talking about. Aditi?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We are now on slide number 42. In terms of the legislative program, I spoke about the Electronic Communication Amendment Bill. The focus of the bill in the name is to amend the Act to clarify and strengthen certain powers and functions to make provision for the matters emanating from the broadband policy. This will ensure that the legal and regulatory issues of broadband are addressed. But also one of the things that we will also be addressing is the ownership and control, amending the ownership and control sections of the Act, but also addressing the spectrum management and lastly to refine the licensing issues. And in terms of the impact of amending the bill, in the main is to address the regulatory bottlenecks and to create a certainty overall in terms of the regulation. The next legislation that will be also be undertaking is the ICASA amendment, and in the main, this amendment will deal with improving the governance and the funding model of ICASA, but also to strengthen the role of ICASA in terms of the tribunal, and also to clarify the role of the minister in ICASA with respect to the management, allocation, and assignment of the radio frequency spectrum. And the impact in the main of the ICASA amendment is to improve the regulation of the ICT industry, but also the functioning of the regulator. And on slide number 42, which is the Postal Services Amendment Bill, in the main, the impact of amending this bill is to improve regulation of the postal sector in the interest of the postal and users. But the strategic focus of this bill is going to be to strengthen the postal regulatory mechanisms, which will ensure that we cater for the amendment proposed by the postal sector, but also to make provisions for the regulation of extraterritorial offices of exchange and to provide for the matters connected therewith. And the next legislation that will also be undertaking is the Post and Telecommunication Related Matters Amendment Bill, or the South African Post. And the impact of this amendment is the alignment with legislation and to make provision for the implementation in terms of the clean break principle in the interest of the former spouse of members of the post office, the retirement fund on divorce, or the dissolution of a customary marriage. Lastly, the last bill that we'll also be dealing with is the Electronic Communication Transaction Amendment Bill. In the main, one of the things that we'll also be doing is the alignment of the ECT with the Cybersecurity Policy and the Consumer Protection Act. And the impact would ensure that there is alignment of legislation to the latest policy and technology development, including issues of relevance with regard to the cybersecurity. With regard to the HR recruitment, recently we have advertised two DDG positions, that is ICT policy and ICT strategy and information. And we're actually in the process of appointing these two DDG positions. Over and above this, we've also advertised a DDG administration and also the DDG for SOEs and enterprise development. And what we are aiming to do is to ensure that by the beginning of May, we've also concluded these two appointments. Over and above that, there are a number of SMSs, that is chief directors and directors, that will also be advertising. And in the main, what we are aiming to achieve with all these appointments is to ensure that we have the necessary skills and capacity that will support the implementation of the strategic plan. And the last issue, which is the financial information, and on this one, Honorable Chairperson, I will hand over to Mr. Sam Vilagas to deal with the slide number 51.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members.
Honorable Minister. Chair, I'm going to be presenting the financial information, but we thought that perhaps before we talk about the figures for the MTF period, we reflect a little bit on what has been happening over the past 3 years. These figures, they relate to the financial year 2008, 09, 10, 10, 11. This is just essentially the historical performance of the department in as far as the finances are concerned. I won't go through individual figures, Chair, but the Chair and honorable members will notice there that in the financial year 8-9, the department reached 99.9% against the budget of 2.3 billion. 2009-10, budget of 2.3 billion, the department reached 93%. And I think in 2010-11, there was a bit of a challenge there wherein the department only reached about 66.7%. I think this is the time when there was a challenge with the issue of the GTT standards, and therefore major projects that were supposed to be undertaken by entities such as USASA, Centec, and the SABC could not be implemented in that financial year. In the next slide, Chair, deals with just the economic classification or the breakdown in terms of what made those figures. So essentially, just a further a breakdown of the figures that I've presented in the previous slide. Moving on, I think this is a critical slide, Honourable Chair, because it deals with the funding of the department for the financial year 2013-14, 2015. If I could just zoom into 12-13, a Chair will notice there that the department has a budget of about 1.7 billion, and there's about six programs: administration, international policy, ICT enterprise development, infrastructure, and the PNC. So basically, what's happening here is that this 1.7 billion is spread across the six programs. And I think one important point to mention to the committee is that 65% of this budget goes to the state-owned entities within the communications portfolio, and that consumes about 1.1 billion. Moving on to the next slide, Chair, I think also this becomes very critical because in as much as we can be able to talk about the budget that we have for the coming financial year, there is a slight challenge with regard to additional funding that is required by the entities. Last year, around about June, July, the entities put forward their additional funding request over the MTF period. This slide seeks to outline what has been requested by the entities and for what. Starting with ICASA, there was a request put forward by ICASA of about 566 million, mainly for the head office relocation, as well as buying spectrum monitoring equipment and some of additional items that they require to on a day-to-day basis. They were allocated 132 million by National Treasury, so there is a shortfall there of 434 million, which is still a concern. On SAPO, there was a request put forward of 2.4 billion. Mainly this money forms the bulk of what Postbank requires to be able to as capital injection going forward. I must indicate, Chair, that nothing has been allocated in this regard, which is also a bit of a challenge because the department is in the process of ensuring that Postbank is corporatized, and therefore the issue of funding becomes very critical to make sure that things like the licenses and so on are in place. SABC, also a very critical area, submitted a funding request of 7.3 billion, mainly for the GTT, both for CAPEX and OPEX. Only 138 million has been made available. This is also a very critical area, and it's also of concern, Chair, because if the SABC is unable to secure the funding that is required to make sure that GTT is in place, this constitutes a bigger risk going forward. Same as Centec, funding request of 1.4 billion, only 141 million came through. USAF, that's USASA mainly for the set-top box subsidies, antennas, and so on. 740 million, nothing came through. Radio frequency spectrum, I think the DG just spoke briefly about the importance of this. There was a request of 5.6 million, nothing came through. NEMISA, 49 million, also nothing came through. The East Coast Institute, which is a program that seeks to address the skills problem through this institute, it also requested funding of 235, and nothing also came through. So in a nutshell, these are the funding requests that have been put forward. And the Honorable Chair and the committee will notice that a very little amount came through, which is a very serious concern for us as a department. Moving on to the next slide, Chair, we just thought we will highlight just the risks around this lack of funding. I think I spoke about the DTT that if the funding is not coming through, we're going to have a bit of a problem. Of course, the issue of this set-top box subsidies. I think also of importance is the issue of SAPO, because I think there is a view that SAPO's subsidy will at some point will come to an end, if I may use that word, by 2014. This will also have an impact on the universal service obligations, the same as the skills that I've already spoken about, the radio frequency spectrum, as well as the cyber security. So in a nutshell, those are the issues around the financial status of the department, as well as the additional funding requests going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chairperson, this, I think, in a nutshell, concludes our presentation, and we'd like to thank you and the honorable members, and thank Minister and the Deputy Minister for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, DG, for the presentation. Members, Honorable Kekane, Kilen, Shin, Stein, Trochen, Shin, you say name. You must teach me your surname. Your surname, I always get it wrong. Shiniman. Oh, okay, no, it's fine. You can start another question. Sure, the first one, DG, if you can explain on the post-bank and post-service. I didn't hear you correctly. I'm interested in this thing of the post bank, because I think especially in the remote areas of the rural areas, it can provide a very important service. For example, people don't all the time from villages have to go to town to draw to do bank transactions. If the post is there, maybe as the chief crawl, that will actually enhance a better economic activity in the rural area. Now, I'm saying this because right now there's this shortage of money, and money is not an easy thing to come by for anybody, but also creativity helps. And so in the post office, you spoke, Speaker, are you saying the other service the post office is going to render is dissolving customer marriages? And if that is, I hear you saying dissolving of CASA, if you want to divorce your customer, if you go to the post office. I didn't really understand that, because I really think we could put them to better use, for example, this post-bank issue, so that it is economic. The post office is no more serving as it used to, we're told, because we don't send telegrams. We said, so the mobile phone has taken over a lot of post office activities. But I think it should refocus on economic activities rather than civil kind of activities where you're concentrating on divorcing customary wife. The second thing I want to ask, when you did your introduction, you spoke a lot about acting, and we have always said in the past, we don't want acting position. And the chair did point out that in the State of the Nation address, the president did say all government vacancies, especially those that are budgeted for, must be filled. And you also speak about measuring the impact of job creation. Now,
if your institution can't fill in posts, can't fill in jobs that are there available and skills are there, how will you teach this nation how to create jobs when you can't fill in posts that are readily available in your own institution? I just wanted to lengthen, elaborate more on this thing of job creation. You don't seem to be doing it within your institution. How will you do it in the nation? Because charity always begins at home.
Chairperson, I hear what Honorable Kana is saying, but obviously to create a few jobs in the department and to fill them is not going to solve our problem. I think this is a key department. Through its policies, it could make a major contribution to economic growth. In so doing, to create jobs in the industry. And that is what I'd just like to start with. If I could just ask the department, or to maybe just make a few observations. Chairperson, if I look back at the previous years, and particularly last year, that we really said to the department, we feel there is simply too much of a sort of an intention that comes through the departmental strategic plans, etc. And when it comes back to quarterly and to annual reports, it's very often, why was the specific objective not achieved? It is because of HR constraints and capacity problems, etc., etc. Now, I just want to say that some of the processes of the department, can I just make one comment just as by way of introduction? I'm concerned that notwithstanding some indication that there was a dedicated focus on the strategic plan, I have to say that. There was really a sort of a strategic focus on it. I do not think that it is going to lead necessarily to an impact out there in the ICT sector. And I want to know, what has the department done to conduct a survey of its impact in the ICT sector? It seems too much of internal focus, yet you need to get your goals right, and you need to get to build after you have determined what your strategy is, you need to get your structure in place. But it seems that there are too much focus on activities instead of on real impact and outcomes. Now, for us to assess whether they have achieved their strategic goals, the difference between a strategic goal and an objective, I read it, and the partners must please correct me. I think what they're meaning is to have 5 strategic goals, and then there are certain key steps to achieve those goals. When are we going to see specific, responsible departmental sectors, individuals, etc., to drive those processes? Because if we move towards performance assessment of people in the public sector, that is what where we should head to. So I'm concerned that we don't have that. We have a lot of writing that we can read, etc., but we've not sharpened the pencil yet to say that this is what has been achieved. It's all good intention, but very little of what is achieved. And that brings me to 2 important matters. The one is a real concern about the department's move towards ensuring that we reach the deadline for digital migration. It is clear that Treasury did not approve specific requests for additional transfers, and certain urgent steps will have to be taken, because my personal view is, and that of my organization, is that there should be a sort of a ring-fenced allocation for the SABC to achieve that specific goal of moving towards digital migration. I cannot see that in an ordinary operational budget they would be able to find the funds to do that. But the rest of the industry as well, there's been too little, too late as far as this is concerned. And how will the department move towards achieving the deadline? I have not been convinced in this plan that we will see significant progress in this year towards that. Secondly, I would like to come back to the issue that member Kekana has raised with regards to acting appointments. Can the department confirm that they have in fact opened up the application process to make sure that they attract the best possible people in the industry to fill key positions? We have seen in the past in this department that there were some internal processes as far as HR is concerned that was certainly not well managed. And I think the minister and the DG should also explain to us some of the processes in the past 2 years. We need some transparency. Some of them were really not well managed. I think Mr. Harold Vesso will know what I'm referring to. There were some internal processes where people were dismissed, some external assessment took place appointments took place of people who came in to find certain individuals guilty. Some of the people went to the Labour Court, they were overturned, and they were reinstated. And we have not had any feedback on those processes and activities. And I think it's time that the department comes clean on that. Some of the appointments that we have here in acting capacity also relate to some of those positions. Chief Director Finance, for instance, is one of those positions. Chief Director of HR is another one of those appointments. And now, did we see real external processes to fill these positions to attract the best possible people out there to help the department to obtain its goals? Chairperson, then, one of the issues that the AG has raised was in previous reports, and it's also listed here as under risk management in the strategic plan, page 23 to page 25, some of the risks that the department is facing, and actually they are quite significant, and I am a little concerned that the mitigation strategy is, in some respects, I do not believe, aggressive enough to mitigate those risks. And it is going to have an impact. Unauthorized access to the department and its systems, etc. Human resource skill shortage to achieve the department's strategic objectives and mandate, there it is listed. Then the issue of the lack of analytical tools. Now, the AG has in the past criticized some of the entities as well as the department for information, reliable information upon which you build your strategy. To what extent have you addressed that? Have you have now conducted the baseline survey to determine what is the broadband penetration at present. How long has that taken? And why did the department only do it recently so that the outcomes of the study is not even here? I think it's so important for us if we want to achieve what this department is setting itself out to achieve. That should have been done some time ago. At least it is now in the process. We have to say that. But it's just some of the urgency of these issues really require very important sort of pressure from the department. Chair, I want to conclude by just referring to some of the entities and when they will be evaluating some of these, etc. I think we should have a look. USASA certainly has improved, but I believe on page 28 of the strategic plan, it is said that the date of evaluation is annually. I think it should be more regular. It should be 6 monthly. Also, as far as ICASA is concerned, I note that they're saying that ICASA's evaluation, date of evaluation should be annually. I would like to plead that in view of the AG's report today, that we actually make that quarterly. Because the firmer the grip of the department on some of these underperforming entities, or entities that clearly have serious problems, the firmer the grip on them, the better outcomes we will also see as far as that is concerned. As far as legislation is concerned, I just want to ask the department, from the ICT sector, we've had so many appeals.
Honorable Kiran, you see, you must not say lastly, because it's not me who say you must say so. You say so yourself, and then you continue after that. So that remove lastly in your vocab, and then you talk until you finish.
Thank you, Chair. I apologize. Chairperson, the issue of... where was I? What was that?
You were about to talk about legislation.
Legislation. Sorry, Chairperson, you're almost there. The ICT sector has on many occasions requested a thorough evaluation of the policies. They said the last green and white paper process was in the 90s. It's time for a complete overhaul. The ICT industry has really changed head over ears. Why is it that we're proceeding with the revision of specific acts on ICASA, on the electronic communications, etc.? Why does the department still not see the need for a complete new process so that we do not have piecemeal adjustments? For one, I do not believe that the funding model of ICASA is the great issue. Yes, the management could be. But funding cannot be the problem, because if the AG raises the issue of them not having a system to account for license fees, not being able to answer to them on the basis of invoices issued on license, clearly they're missing out on millions and millions. And as an overseeing body, this committee cannot simply say to ICASA, shame, we will solve your problem if we give you more money. Can't be. We look at how strict Treasury was in this last year with entities and additional support for them. That will not be the outcome. We will have to get them to perform better, to effectively manage their systems, their information systems, and to tell this committee what is it that they get in and what are their problems, what are their constraints. So I'm concerned that we're moving again with piecemeal adjustments to legislation and not looking at the entire sector. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kiran. Honorable Schneeman.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks to the Department and the Minister for the presentations. I want to start firstly by referring to page 12 of the strategic plan. And there's a particular sentence that caught my eye as I was going through it. And it says there that South Africa has lost its status as a continental leader in terms of internet and broadband connectivity. And for me, that would be quite a worrying statement, because there's also a fair amount in the strategic plan dedicated to our international work in Africa, etc. But I think it would be helpful if we could get some elaboration to that statement that's made. Why are we in that situation, and what are we going to do turn that situation around? That's where I wanted to start. The next point that I quickly want to touch on relates to the issue that's been raised in the presentation and the strategic plan around the focus on job creation. I note what has been said and what some of the intentions and the goals, etc. But I think we need a little bit more information as to not so much how, but if we are to monitor and oversee and satisfy ourselves that sufficient progress is being made in terms of job creation through the use of ICT, etc., and the various areas that strategic planning is referring to through those, I think we need a little bit more information. I think I'm not saying that we need to know the number of jobs, but I really think we need more information as to, because otherwise we will come to the end of the financial year and we will be told, no, we created jobs. But we have no idea on how to measure that. And I think that is one of the most crucial areas for me, is how are we going to measure that as a committee? So that's the second point I wanted to raise. I've been covered on the issue of acting DDG positions, so that's fine. Just the last area that I would then want to raise, and that is the additional funds that have been requested. It relates to the almost page 54 of the presentation. And I think that page has to be fairly worrying, because there are substantial amounts that were requested. Some of the areas in the strategic plan are linked to these amounts that have been requested. Now, it's very clear that if we look at the figures, most of it hasn't been granted. What is the impact going to be? You've very briefly, on page 55, given some, but it's not, doesn't go into great detail. But what are the real implications going to be? And how is the department, how are the various entities going to deal with this shortfall in funding? I mean, to take the SABC for example, I imagine it's just not the DTT that's going to be impacted. Surely there are other programs of the SABC. Surely then the SABC, as an example, has to reprioritize. So I think that we really need to have a far better understanding of what are the real implications and what are the steps that are going to be taken to deal with these shortfalls, and how are these entities going to manage, and how are we going to meet the targets that we are setting ourselves, or should I say the department is setting itself, given this shortfall in funds. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. As a newbie on this committee, I would just like to say that I'm a little
bit... You are no longer new.
Well, a couple of weeks.
You are relatively... So, okay, proceed.
And obviously this is the first time that I've had read through the strategic plan of this department and had a presentation. And I'm really, I think, distressed, concerned, perhaps, that what I expect the Department of Communications to be doing for the country, for its economic growth and all those good things, and what it is actually doing just seems so far apart. I understand totally the ICT industry's need for a review of what this department is actually doing, because it just seems so out of kilter with what the country actually needs. There's a lot of good intentions, and I'm sure there's a lot of good, well-meaning programs here, but do they belong in this department is my concern. Then just a little bit of housekeeping. This document, which, you know, I've read quite, as you can see by all the little stickies in it, quite thoroughly, apart from the fact that it's poorly written, I mean, there was inappropriate words used, misunderstanding of some of the words used. On page 62, when we have the ICT policy development, one thing like this throws the whole credibility of the document into doubt. It says here, the South African Post Office Bill is currently being deliberated in Parliament and is envisaged that it will be approved by the Portfolio Committee on Communications before recess of Parliament in the 2010 calendar year. This is 2012. What is that doing in this document? Who proofread it? Okay, this is page 62. So that just one thing just leapt out at me. And, I mean, I know that's wrong. You know, and I'm new here. I don't know what else is wrong now in this document. But be that as it may, we'll now go on to other things. And I'd like to perhaps start again where Honourable colleague Greg left off, was the amount of money that the Treasury has not allowed you to have. And my question is not so much what impact this is going to have on the outcomes of your programs, but why the Treasury refused to give you this money. Do they believe that the many programs that were being asked for funding actually weren't worth the investment? What reasons did Treasury give for turning down that money? There's obviously an awful lot of things I'd like to ask, but I'll restrict it to a couple. In 2 or 3 weeks' time, South Africa will hear whether it has won the Square Kilometre Array project. Even if it doesn't win, we will still have the Meerkat project, astronomy project, which in itself is a huge, huge scientific platform, which needs an incredible amount of communications infrastructure. There's not one word of any contingency so that they say, guys, you've won this multi-billion euro contract, now let's roll out the infrastructure. I don't know if they've actually sidelined every entity within your ambit here, but I would like to know if you've been involved at all in any discussions with the SKA project on their communications needs, because it's huge, it's huge. The other thing is the set-top boxes. I see the Treasury has refused money for this. Is this because they believe that we shouldn't be building them, that we should actually be buying them, because it'll be a lot cheaper for us to buy them than to make them? And one doesn't understand why we're pursuing this dream of creating an industry where we can actually buy these commodity products far more cheaply off the shelf. It really just doesn't make any financial sense at all. The cyber security policy framework. Now, I've been finding this, and there's been strange things. A couple of weeks ago, the Minister of Justice said that the policy, cyber security policy framework, or the development, was going to be passed shortly to Cabinet. And at the same time, he said that the responsibility for this development was going to be revested with the Department of State Security. Then last week, we get the statement that the Cabinet has approved this. Now, do we have a set... I don't know whether we have a cybersecurity policy that has been approved by Cabinet, or whether it's a cybersecurity policy framework into which there will be more work done. I don't know whether there's... And we've had this term used interchangeably here today, because I've been listening for it. At one stage, we have the policy has been approved by Cabinet, and then we have the policy framework has been approved. What has actually been approved? And which department is going to actually be responsible for the development, safeguarding, management of the cybersecurity policy? And I would like really some sort of clarity on the actual status of it at the moment. The persistent, your workload, particularly with your policy development and all the documents and strategy stuff that's happening, you just don't have the staff to do it. So you've actually got to cut down on what you're trying to do. Because I get very much the feeling that the department's trying to be a one-stop shop for the ICT industry. And I think that it should actually try to do everything, and it actually shouldn't. It should actually step back and let industry and industry, you try to double up on what's already being done out in the industry. Then also of particular interest to me is the Dinner Lady Schools. I've been following this project for a couple of years now. In fact, when I first got to Parliament in 2009, I filed a question to this department on what was happening. I got a very comprehensive answer on the fact that the whole thing had stalled because you'd come up with an idea that was far too expensive, and Treasury had kicked it out and said come up with another plan. And then I followed up again a year later, and I got a 2 or 3 line dismissive answer saying we haven't come to a decision, it's still working. A year later I filed the same question, I got virtually the same wording. So obviously the guy, if you have answered the question for the minister then, didn't apply his or her mind to the answer. I got virtually the same answer. And then suddenly at the end of last year, up pops this thing of, I forget how many schools it is, are connected now to the network. And I said, but what are they connected to? Where was the special high-speed broadband network that all the Dinnerly schools were going to be connected to? So I don't know what these 300 schools are connected to. Do they just have an ADSL line to the local ISP? There is none of that detail there. We can all dial in, but it wasn't what was originally planned for the Dinnerly schools. So I'd please like a detailed answer as to what has actually happened with the network that was supposed to connect these schools, and what are they connected to? Is it a dial-up line? You know, all sorts of caps. I'll leave it there. I've got lots more, but we'll leave it there.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start right at the beginning, and I'm going to touch on some of the issues that have been raised. The one regarding the structure of the department. In the document, it says that a new structure has been developed, and it has in fact been approved. And yet during the presentation, it was said that it will only be implemented in the financial year 13-14. Now, 13-14, the budget actually reduces from this current financial year in real terms. And yet we're saying that this whole restructuring is then going to be implemented. So my question really, therefore, is what is happening during this new financial year? Why? I don't get the sense that it will even be partially be implemented, except perhaps for those senior appointments that's going to be taking place. Then, Chairperson, again, if I look at the budget, and I'm referring to page 16 of the document, and it refers really to Program 6, which is the Presidential National Commission, that it says it's going to be reviewed. Now, the NTEF budget for that particular program indicates that it's almost consistent over the NTEF period. So I'm not really sure what is meant by it's going to be reviewed. Is it going to be taken away from this department? I don't get a sense, certainly in terms of the budget as well, what is going to be happening there. Then I'm concerned, and it relates to the Auditor General's report earlier, where the Auditor General really gave the department almost a clean bill of health in terms of their objectives, their targets, in terms of the SMART principles. Maybe I'm not looking at it in the same way, but in terms of a lot of these objectives, it appears to me that you know, I can't get a handle on exactly what is going to be done, by when, and what is going to be achieved. Now, and then in the same breath, Chairperson, I want to add that the entities are largely responsible to implement the objectives of the department. And we sit with at least two entities that the Auditor General has identified where the targets and the objectives do not comply with the SMART principles. Now, surely the department should exercise oversight over them as well in terms of that. Because if they fail, the department fails. And if we don't have clear objectives with measurable results, then we're actually not going to know really what the money has been spent on. So it's really in terms of the department's oversight over its entities. That's one thing if I accept the AG's report that they get a clean bill of health in terms of applying the SMART principles, but then equally they need to ensure that the entities have reached the same sort of clean bill of health. Then, Chairperson, I am a little bit concerned, and I want to talk about page 54, which is really an unfunded mandate, if one look at that page in isolation. What does concern me, however, is that the department has got clear targets that they're going to reach specific milestones this current year and certainly by 2030. Now, and although they've identified it in the book, in any case, the document, although it wasn't in the presentation, I'm a bit surprised that the risk management wasn't part of your presentation, because a lot of what you're going to be doing hinges on those risks being managed. And the very first one is, in fact, the funding. But if you look at the last year's budget, and they refer for some reason to 2008-2009, you'll notice that in the 2010-11 budget, it is mentioned that the budget wasn't spent because there were rollovers for the very items that they're asking money for now that appears that they're not going to be getting it. Now, it's a bit of a conundrum, Chairperson, that they weren't ready to implement those projects then. The money was budgeted for it then. There obviously appears not to be a rollover, but in terms of their strategic plans, they are now ready for it, but now the money is not there anymore. So somewhere, you know, it's this whole planning and budgeting thing, and if you don't plan according to budget and don't budget according to plan, then you're planning for failure, really. But that leads me to the other question. If you look again, Chairperson, and I'll refer you to the to the page in the document, page 31. But I've gone through this, and it's on pages 31, 59, 78, 79, 100, 115. There were massive increases in this 2011-2012 financial year on particularly consultants, on venues, on entertainment, and I'm talking about up to 1,000% increases in some instances. Now, when I look at the explanations for why the budget decreased from one year to the other, and I think about what has happened, and don't forget the 2010 World Cup was during the 2010-11 financial year. I simply, and I'm going to obviously put that question when we look at the annual report, I get no indication why we see these humongous increases from the previous year to the year that we're just finishing off now. And like I say, I will certainly be putting questions to the department in those respects. And it's primarily, I mean, it's on entertainment, it's on consultants, it's on goods and services, but we're talking about huge, 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 huge increases. And it's reflective there in terms of your 2010-11 budget of $1.4 billion, of which only 66% was spent, and then the $2 billion of this financial year that we're finishing off. I believe that the targets, some of them, and I can go to the pages in your presentation on 28, for example, let me just look at a few of them. I believe that they are very broad. Hence my reason for saying that I don't quite agree 100% with the Auditor General. I mean, if you look at page 28 of your presentation, market study conducted on wholesale. Now, this leads me to believe that this has already taken place, although I think what is meant here is that it is still to be conducted during this year, but on wholesale and retail prices. So once this has been done, what is the objective of this? We don't go beyond just saying, well, you know what, we're going to do a market study. What I want to know is, what are we going to be doing with the results of that market study? And it may be implied, but I don't think we should leave it for assumptions. On page 38, for example, the comprehensive program for ICT capacity development in business, government services, and individuals implemented. I mean, each one of us here is an individual, but I would imagine that the department have got a certain target market other than government and business services. For us to say an individual's implemented, I can take it literally that we're going to try and get it implemented for every one of our, I don't know how many, 48 or whatever million people we now have. So it's too broad. It's something that we can't really measure. Then, Chair, I just want to return very quickly to the risk management, which is on page 23. Of the document, and which I believe was an oversight for the DG not to place emphasis on it. I mean, if we look at 23 there, the first one, like I said, was the financial resources, which she's touched on, unauthorized access to the department, its systems and networks. I mean, that is not just a risk management, that is very serious. If one considers that this department, in fact, is liaising with all the other departments in terms of their ICT and should really be giving guidance, for this department to have that type of risk and it's not serious enough to address, it's for me, a big problem. This may answer some of the Honorable Schliemann's question in terms of what he read in the first pages. Delays on ratification and compliance with international agreements. I mean, Chairperson, is it then any wonder that we have something which is acknowledged by the department and read out by Honorable Schliemann that South Africa has lost its status as a continental leader? Now, again, what are we doing about these things? This one is relatively important for me on 25, a lack of a business continuity plan for the department. Chair, how can we sit here, be looking at a strategic plan, and one of the risks identified by the department is that there's a lack of a business continuity plan. This document says 2012 up to 2017. Now, how do we get to this document if there's a lack of a business continuity plan? Lastly, Chairperson, and I think this is quite evident when, certainly in my short time and having interacted with some of the SOEs, inadequate structured engagement with stakeholders. As I said right at the beginning, those entities are the implementing arm of this department. And besides everything else that I've mentioned, if there's no structured engagement with them, for them to exercise oversight in terms of the mandate that they give to those entities, then again we're planning for failure. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Rohan.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I also want, in addition to questions that was asked, and in addition to those questions, finances that Treasury does not want to allocate, and we need to approve the MTF period and the budget, but we see that Treasury do not want to allocate additional funds. And then under resource considerations, it says why your funds have decreased and you have not done certain tasks. And I understand why Treasury do not want to give you the money, as you explained on the PAL presentation on page 54. How does it link to what you've already said on page 22 in the strategic plan? Your funds were decreased because you have not used the funds, but you assume then the funds will roll over. But how does it link to the presentation? Sorry, Chairperson, I have a lot of questions, but I know time will not permit, but I will not be able to get through all my questions. I will only ask questions from the PowerPoint presentation. On the slide 17, you talked about schools. I'm really concerned about the 1,650 schools that will be connected through internet. Over the years, we heard that the schools do not have funds and that we need to keep the connections. How are we going to sustain that 1,650 schools to be connected, that they keep to be connected? You can't tell us later that you didn't have the funds to keep them connected. On slide 19, my questions are very practical, and I will give you reasons later why I'm saying my questions are very practical. On slide 19, you talked about community radios. In our oversight visits, we found that the community radios will not be able to sustain themselves. They cannot afford, because they can't afford to pay their license fees with their cars. More community radios do need that kind of assistance. With our oversight that we're going to do in the future, we will hear that they are going to tell us that they can't afford their license fees. How are we going to assist them? Page 21, and there's a lot of documents where they talk about the set-top boxes. No way I could find who's making those set-top boxes. Yes, Honourable Member said that maybe it's too expensive to be manufactured here in South Africa, but our aim was that local markets were manufactured here. But I could not find where and who you identified who will then manufacture these set-top boxes. And then on the SMMEs, to doing the work regarding the set-top boxes, what are they going to do it? Are they going to sell it, or are they going to manufacture it? Because there are 1,000 SMMEs, how many set-top boxes need to be manufactured to cover the population that needs to be manufactured? Are there plans in place to address this need? I'm very worried about the cyber security, very worried. Over the weekend, I read a document of our Speaker of Parliament has been used in the cyberspace to collect funds from Parliament by but the committee that does not exist. And so many of those kind of things have been happened. Some of our deputy ministers' names were used to collect money. And we are still talking about cyberspace security policies and protection. But I want to know, when will we have cyberspace security being protected? And we will be protected, because to make sure that our children do not have access to pornography and to those kind of movies. when are we going to have this? And then also coming on to page 100 on the strategic plan document, on the meerkat project, 2011-2012-2013, there's no funds allocated for the meerkat project. I'm not sure if the meerkat project moved to another department. You can see that there's no money allocated to, and where's the money going to for this project, and who's going to sustain it. My chairperson, maybe I can go to my other questions, but I will hold my other questions for a later opportunity. Thank you.
Honourable Muruto.
I know. Chairperson. I know who did this. On my right. Chairperson, I did mention it. First one is disempowered somehow, but I just wanted to ask, in actual fact, I was fascinated by page 4, the vision, mission, and mandate. Because somehow it addresses the ANC African National Congress policy. So I was fascinated by that. But I just want to understand, because the Rural Development Department of Rural and Rural Development claims to own ICT interventions also. Has there been any collaboration between the Department of Communication and that department? The previous speakers, I think, have really mentioned some of my concerns, especially on, you see, I see a lot of projects here. Yeah, and I just wanted to know whether these projects, as many as they are, couldn't we identify at least a few that we are going to be focusing on? And can the department really provide a clear project plan in terms of timeline on this? And the other issue has been, you know, identified the slide 53 and 54 is deny everything that you people have envisaged from the Department of Communication. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Sir.
Thank you very much, Chapa. Chair, on this slide 53, I think you have observed that it's a worrying factor to all of us. This budget shortfall, it poses a very serious challenge. To me, maybe the minister can share with us, because the Honourable Minister of Finance, their colleagues, she can share with us why is it like this, because to me it's all against the poor of the poorest, this budget shortfall, especially regarding the issue of the universal service access, the DTT. The DTT is the benefit for the poor. They must benefit, and we cannot afford to be behind of other countries. But this budget shortfall, Minister, I think really need to be addressed. Maybe there are issues that we don't know. Maybe after explanation we'll be able to understand. But the other worrying factor that might have influenced the Treasury to do that, you see, is your spending. When you check your 2008-2009, at least you have managed to score 100% there and there. But for this last financial year, in only one project administration, we were above 90, it's 96%, but the rest is below. That means there's a lot of rollover. Maybe if you can also explain to us why, like you have done here, in terms of the spending, the requests from the entities, maybe you can also take us through, Uguti, why other monies were not spent. Yes, because you have requested the money. If entities have requested money, they must also spend that money. Maybe it's also one of the reasons why the minister did not give you what you wanted, is the unspent money. And again, on the 74% DVBD to infrastructure rollout by Centech, DOC, you know, I've always said when you talk of percentages, when our lives will be tampered with, I will always want to know where. Because when you say 74%, it might be in KZN only, or KZN and part of Mpumalanga, part of Northwest. The rest of the six provinces will suffer. And my request will be if we can just get the breakdown of this 74%. That after the implementation, don't come here again and say, but we still have more areas that are not covered. Only one area is covered that consumes the whole of 74%. On the issue of the low power transmitter plan, the rollout plan, I know SABC is always the one responsible. It might be the law that says so, but I think, Minister, you need to do something. It must be the responsibility of DOC, to me, because I've said it when Centech was presenting its strategic plan, I think last financial year, that it cannot be correct. If it's the law, will take the responsibility of changing that, because this decision always impacts on other areas. And on the other issue, I think Honorable Velma has covered me regarding the issue of 1,000 SMMEs. My take on that will be this budget shortfall. Won't it also affect this part of this 1,000 already identified SMMEs? When, what if they'll be affected? What are you intending to do about it? Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chairperson, I forgot one aspect. I just wanted maybe the Minister to explain. I heard her mentioning the provinces. I'm interested in knowing what would be the approach of their broadband rollout in provinces.
Thank you, members. I think those are the questions we can be able to take for today. I'll allow the department to respond. They've got around 30 minutes to do so. But I hope they'll be able to help us, because my only take on the strategic plan is that there is one element which I think is lacking, but members have raised questions around that. Look, last year we agreed that DOC is the leader in ICT. We thought that we agree about that, that DOC is leading. It's not playing equal with others, it's leading. Now, the difficulty is that, again, you have not analyzed the market for us. You are not saying to us, this is the ICT market in South Africa. How does it look, investment, and all those other things, the 5 or 6 points we raised last year. And then appoint that so that we understand how does this strategic plan is going to impact in the sector. If you accept that you are the leader of the sector, how it's going to impact in the sector, how it's going to change the sector, create this environment which will be conducive to move forward. If you don't deal with that part, I see on the document, DG,
There is some mentioning of the research barometer and so on. But you see, that one is a process. But what we requested was that give us the outlook of that sector so that we locate this strategic plan in terms of what impact is going to have in the entire sector, because we are leading the sector. So if we don't have that, I'm sure that's why other members were raising the point of we were leading, we're no longer leading, and so on. Because if we have given that outlook, what's going to be possible for us probably to say this strategic plan, how it's going to impact and also taking us to our leading position as we once were, and so on. I think that's one element. I'm sure I'll be able to ask some of the issues Friday so that we can have time now to respond. But just that broader outlook, I think, is a concern for me. You can respond.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. I think that I'm going to start with the responses, and the DG and the DDGs will then come through. I want to start at a point where you just ended, Honorable Chair, and say that indeed we are supposed to be the leader in the ICT sector, and that has to be underlined, and also at the back of our minds on a daily basis as we do our work, it has to be known. However, there has been a challenge, as you have indicated. One of the areas that as a department we have taken a decision on is to begin to do what you have just said, the market or sector analysis, but also to deal with issues of legislation review. And on that score, we have taken a decision, Honorable Chair, to hold first a colloquium where we're going to bring everybody else in the sector to participate, and we are going to be presenting what we think as a department is a challenge for us going forward. And in that colloquium, we are meant to review from the beginning, the white papers and the green papers that were there from 1996-98. So we're going to start there. And once we have done that, Honorable Chair, we will then be able to do the market analysis that is going to be helping us. And two, Honorable Chair, I also want to respond to the issue where we are saying we almost have lost our status as the leader in Africa, both in the internet penetration. And I think that has been created by the fact that as a department, probably we have not done this market analysis, and we have not come, you know, upfront to Cabinet and to the Minister of Finance to say these are the priorities as a department that we would like to focus on. And as a result, my take is that the Department of Finance then concentrated on education and health, as you would know that this government has prioritized that, and they've also looked at other infrastructure departments and have actually forgotten about us. And I think we have also made we also have to be blamed, because we have not come up front with a plan that says we are a leader in ICT and these are our plans. And I think we want to begin to do that. One, the President has come up with a Presidential Infrastructure Commission. We are part of that Infrastructure Commission on the broadband, which is why we have to then look at our broadband plan, what we call the broadband integrated plan. And if we are going to be able to do that, it means then we must talk to the Department of Enterprises, which has broadband in Franco. We also have to speak to DPSA, which sits with CETA, which are entities that are not within us. And therefore, for us to be able to come up with an integrated plan, we have to engage those, and we have begun to do so. So we want to say to the Honorable Member through you, Chair, that we have begun to do that. And then there's an element around, the rural development programs, Mastori. I want to, you know, just bring that into a broader, arrangement of the work that we do in the department. government has five key priorities. And those five key priorities is education, is health, is rural development, is fighting crime and corruption, is creation of jobs. As a department, we have a role to play in those spaces. One, we have a connectivity program in the department, which is led by the deputy minister, which includes education and health. And therefore, it means that when it has to do with e-connectivity, e-health, and e-education, we are part of them. And then when it comes to rural development, we have a good relationship with that department. When they say they have an element of ICT, they mean that we work with them. And I think that DPG Piri would then be able to expand on that. But on fighting crime and corruption, Honorable Chair, cyber security is part where we play a role on fighting crime and corruption. And we, as we say that cabinet last week has just adopted the policy framework on cybersecurity. It's the work that we had started as the Department of Communication. I remember that it was somewhere around 2009-2010. And then of late, we then brought in the Department of State Security, the whole cluster of security, the Department of Defense, Justice, and the police. So all of us have worked on together to come up with this policy framework. And at the moment, it's led by the Minister of State Security. We are part of that team of the security cluster. So we are actually participating as a department, and we're trying to make sure that you know, in government and even in the industry, they must feel and must understand that we're a leader in ICT. And I'll come back to that. When it comes to creation of jobs, probably I must go to the first question about why do we think that we can create jobs when we have not filled in our own positions in the department, and say that we have already started. I must say that, yes, indeed, we have been a disappointment that we have had these positions for a long time, having not been filled in, but we have now begun to do so. You'll see, and I have personally made an undertaking, I think, here and outside there, that probably by end of this financial year, and maybe April, we will have tried to do our best to, you know, to fill all these positions. And we have started in the SOEs. We have done so with the SABC. We hope to finalize at the SABC, and I must say that the fact that honorable members are raising an issue about us having not handled appointments in HR in recent times, we have corrected that, and we're going to make sure that we follow a due process to make sure that we fill in positions. We sit here today with the South African Post Office without a CEO, CFO, and a COO. As you would know, that the CEO issue we have just finalized, the CEO resigned, and the term of office of the CFO has come to an end. We were waiting to appoint the board of the SA, South African Post Office. We finalized that, and yesterday we met with them. We have now, we are sure that we are going to begin to start the process of appointing those positions. So we are going to lead by example. We can assure you, honorable members, through the chair. It may take us a few months, but we want to believe that in the next 3 months or so, we will have filled all the positions that are very critical in us doing our work. And then on job creation, again, outside what we are going to be doing ourselves as a department, honorable members were saying, how are you going to monitor, you know, creation of jobs? I must say that in the ICT industry forum, where we chair the industry of the country, it is very clear that we are a policymaker, and what is our responsibility as a department is to create an enabling environment to create jobs. And that's what we want to do, and we have agreed with the industry that we are going to create almost about 1 million jobs by 2020. But my question has been, and my request also to the industry, has been that the industry must go and sit in their companies and work out these jobs. If they say we're going to create 20 jobs out of rollout of broadband, they must then be able to say directly when we roll out broadband, it's going to be 10 jobs, maintenance is going to be five people. They must come up with a plan that will show us that we can point a finger and say, these are the jobs that we have created as an industry and the department directly, and these are the ones that we have created indirectly. And that is going to come soon when we meet with them, and we have agreed that they're going to do so. So I am quite assured on that we're going to be able to do it. Of course, I can sit here and say to you, Honourable Member, through your chair, and say if we were to roll out broadband, you know, 10% increase in rollout is going to create 150 jobs or 150 jobs, and somebody's going to ask, where are these jobs going to be happening? So we don't want to do that. We want to come back to the portfolio committee and say, we have finalized our broadband integrated plan, and this is where we're going to start with rolling out, and this is the job that we think that they were going to create together with the industry. And then on the issue of a budget, it is actually indeed, the Honourable Members, a problem to us also that we don't have enough budget, both for the rollout of the DTTO migration to the digital broadcasting, both at the SABC level and at Centec. However, we have now requested to meet with Minister Calvin, Minister of Finance, to try and talk to him and indicate to him the challenge that we are going to face. Of course, we have to be blamed again, in that we have had deadlines before of rollout of DTT, and we have not been able, you know, to show that we are able to keep up with the deadline. And as a result, when I came in, Honourable Members, and I think that the understanding must not be that we want to address what we found and what we think the others are not ours, because this is a department, a continuation of the department. I think that when we came in, we then decided that we're not going to come up with any other deadline. But what we're going to do is to work towards making sure that by 2015 June, the ITU deadline of DTT, digital migration, we will have migrated South Africa, you know, to digital broadcasting. And we have hoped that, and we still hope, that we will be able to launch, you know, by the third quarter of this year, such that probably somewhere around 2014 we'll think. I am assured with the plans that we have that if we were to be able to launch in the third quarter, which is around September, October, we will be able to make sure that we keep up with a 2015 deadline, and we can, you know, switch off before 2015 June. And why am I saying so? Maybe I should be saying in response to what Honourable Members have been raising here. For an example, the 74% digital, signal distribution that we're talking about. For me, it has been also a problem, you know, that we sit in the department and we see maps, you know, officials bring maps from Centec and say to me, Minister, you know, when you see the red and when you see the green, the red means that we have not covered the signal. When you see green, it means we have covered. And I said to them, I don't want to read maps every day because I can't understand it. All I want to know is that the poor people, when are they going to be covered? Because when I came in, I found that most of the people who were covered with the signal, it was the Western Cape because it's a metro. It was Johannesburg because it's a metro. It was Pretoria because it's a metro. And when you look at the rural areas, we didn't find anything in terms of the signal distribution. So I had requested Centec to say, Centec, can you go and work out your plan? Bring back a plan that shows me how are we going to then be able to roll out DTT? And I must say that they have come back with a plan, and we have now agreed that we're going to start with the rural areas and one of the provinces that where we are going to start from, Honourable Chair, is going to be Limpopo when we start when we launch in the third quarter of the year. We're going to start rolling out in terms of provinces, so that when we finish when we start in a province, we can then talk to the people of the province and say, this is what we want to do, and this is how, this is the time that you have to buy, you know, the set-top boxes. And if we have to assist those who can't buy a set-top, we will know the numbers in the province. And from one province to the next, we will then be able to cover all provinces. That's what we want to do. And we believe that we can start from the rural provinces and end up with those metros, because we know already they are covered, and we know that people who are going to suffer and who are suffering is people who are in the rural areas. Of course, we don't want to perpetuate this thing that has happened before. You know, today we talk about the low-powered transmitters, Honorable Chair. It's because in the plan previous, in the plans previously, you know, of signal distribution, it has always concentrated on the city. And that is why today we talk about this low power trans- and we don't want to again do the same thing and go back and say, no, rural areas are not covered and start looking at. So we want to start with rural areas now. And maybe because I come from the rural area too, I would like to see people in the rural areas being covered. And then on the risks, I think that, Honorable Chair, I want to say that for me, it's quite important that we have identified this risk. And that honorable members must understand our having identified this risk to show that we know where we have a problem. For an example, if I were to go to the lack of business continuity plan, it means if we see it as a risk, it means then we are prepared to go and plan ahead. And therefore, honorable members must appreciate that we do understand that we have a challenge there. And probably in the next time when we come back and appear here, honorable members can ask us, what have you done since you identified those risks? If you talk about issues around the structural arrangement to engage with the SOEs, I think that what you are saying is that the risk can be if we don't manage this quarterly engagement. But we do have a schedule of meetings. We engage with our SOEs on a quarterly basis. And I must say that now that we came here, they can tell you as they sit here, we've already engaged with them even before we come here. So we make sure that we engage. I engaged with them when I came in November. We engaged with them again last month before we came. So we always have that in mind that we have to engage with them. The SKA, that is not our program. It's a project of science and technology, and therefore that's why it's not budgeted for by us as a department. I want to take note of the fact that members are saying we should make sure that we strengthen the oversight on SOEs. I think that we can do that as a department. We will improve on it. Why are we saying that we have now, I've spoken to the, why we have lost our status as a department on internet in the country? I think I have indicated that, you know, we have not convinced probably ourselves, but also because the focus has been to other departments, and we're going to try, we're willing to come back and convince government that we would like to be to go back to the same status where we were as a department, only if we're funded properly. On the SAK, I nearly forgot that, is that we're only going to budget on the SAK. Was the SAK only on the STB, the set-top box manufacturing in the Northern Cape? Not necessarily that it is our project. I hope that I have not left anything. I have spoken to the deadline of the migration. Oh, the last one, I think it would be the internal processes on HR. That I have not spoken to on issues around, Honorable Chair, the fact that we have had suspensions in the department. We were sitting with positions that we were not able to advertise because there were people who were sitting there and there were processes that were happening, both at the CFO level, at the COO level, and at an HR, which is a chief director level. We have now address the HR and the COO one. We're still left with the CFO chairperson, and we're in the process of finalizing, and hopefully by the end of the financial year or this month we will have come to a finality of it. And we want to say that, chairperson, we understand the agency of most of these projects that we have. We take the advice of members on all the issues that they have raised, and hope that we will improve on those that we have not shown eagerness and urgency in our strategic plan, and I'll allow the DG and the DDGs to respond to the others that I have left. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the funding of the 1,650 schools, this project is funded, and the money comes from the savings that we realized from the 2010 World Cup project. What we then did, because we, when we undertaking the 2010 World Cup project, it was with Telkom, and there was a substantial amount that was saved, and as a legacy, we took a decision that we would want the money to be utilized to connect schools, and we went through an extensive process with Telkom, which started with a user requirement, a proposal, and even a contract which was signed by the department and also signed by the DG of Basic Education. We are now in the process where provinces are also signing the contract, following which the project, it will be implemented. That's the one. The second issue, just to support what Minister is saying on the issue of the risk management, to show how serious we actually take the risk management and mitigation. During this year, we've actually established a risk management committee, which was one of the things that was raised by the AG in the 2010 and 2011. And the risk management committee is chaired by an independent member, and there's an additional member, obviously, attended by the department. But today there has been, two meetings, so there is a concerted effort to deal with the risk. But I think what we appreciate, which is what Minister is saying, is that understanding and recognition of the risk that we have and the impact, and therefore a concerted effort from our side to address the risk. And there is definitely an alignment between the risk committee and the audit committee in terms of ensuring that the issues that are dealt with in the risk find their way into the audit committee. But just to confirm that we've done well in terms of the two structures, that is the audit committee and the risk committee from us as the department. But I think what I will do is let me allow my colleagues to take some of the questions and I'll have to come back. Farah, let's start with you in that order.
Thanks, thanks, DG. Honourable members, I think the DG has covered the issue on the fact that we have a fully operational risk committee. So I think we've identified risk owners, which is, and most of the mitigating measures that are in the document are already being implemented to a great extent. So it's being taken very seriously. Just the issue on, I think there was concerns with the target that the target doesn't say what is going to be achieved by when, and some of them seem pretty broad. I think if I can just address that, if I could use the example that the Honourable Member mentioned in this comment, I think it was regarding, if we just get to the page that was used as an example, it was regarding the market study, conducting the market study on the wholesale and retail price and telecommunications. I think the question was what happens after that. I think if you look at the outer years, in year one is the actual market study, in the outer year it's actually policy recommendations stemming from the market study being developed, and then that goes on. And with regards to it being a bit more specific, for the first time the strategic plan has what they call an APP, an annual performance plan, where year one is unpacked into quarterly targets. So you have at the end of June, end of September, end of December, and end of March, what is actually expected in line with that target. So using the very same example, if you look at the further down around the market study, we're on page 70 now. We then say at the end of quarter one, what's expected. End of quarter two, the market study commences with specific focus on voice, SMS, and data prices, signal distribution costs, licensing, pay markets, etc. So we get more specific then, and then in quarter three, it will be concluded, reports developed. In quarter four, the reports will be approved with recommendations, and that takes us into the next year where we actually implement them. So just using the same example that was mentioned in the question, that's the logic behind unpacking into quarterly targets. So I think... I'll stop there for now. Okay.
Thanks very much. We are out of time. Members must go for lunch. The House is sitting at 2. Now it's 5 to 1 or already 1 o'clock. We are not concluding. We are adjourning. We'll continue Friday. Thanks very much, Minister, DG, and your dedication, and the SOEs representatives who are here, including the industry, although CLC was disrupting my meeting, but most appreciated that you are here,
PMG, Stantec, and all of you who are here. We will proceed Friday. Like I said, that will be starting with from 9 until 11, and then take the other presentation. Thanks very much. Thank you, members. Enjoy your lunch.